Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to episode number 84 of the WP Cafe Show. If we look a little flustered, that's because we are, because we've literally just finished another client call and we ran over a bit. So it was hot footing it over to this and then starting it off again. So if we look a bit unprepared, we are a little bit today because we haven't had time to sort of have that 5 minutes before we start. Anyway, we're here. That's the main thing. Thank you all for joining us. I can see some of you letting us know in the chat. Hi to Kyle. Hi to Tony. If you are listening along, watching along on YouTube, please stick it in the chat. Let us know who you are, where you're from. It's nice to see who we've got along with us. Last week's show, we had the most ever live watchers, which was really nice. I don't know why that was. Maybe someone tweeted something that we didn't know or someone promoted us. Possibly. And if you did, awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If you're new here, which I can see some of you are new here because I've not seen those names in the chat, then thanks for joining us. We are the WP Cafe Show. We come out every Friday at 1:30. And we kind of just have a bit of a chat about WordPress for about half an hour. Stuff we've done during the week, news that we found interesting, this and that. You get involved in the comments and it's all good fun. Yeah. So that's what we do anyway. So today we've got a few different things to chat through. We're going to talk about drop shadows. They're coming in WordPress 6.5, I believe. Bit more of an update on some of our products and things. What else have we got? Things that we've been reading and watching, as our usual, which seems to be a popular thing to do. sort of links and stuff of what we've got, and kind of anything else we get into, we'll get there in the end. Anyway, before we start, how's your week, Keith? How's it going?
It's going all right. Yeah, it's good. What can I say about this week? The sun shone on Wednesday. What an amazing day that was! It's like first time in months. It was absolutely glorious. It's crap again now, but. Oh, is it? No,
it's we must have got your sunshine from Wednesday.
Grey and drizzly today. Work-wise, yeah, it's been... God, what have I done? Sometimes I get to a Friday and I'm like, what have I done this week? Like, I'm sure I've been sitting here doing something. Yeah, there's a few things to chat about. Some more advertising-y type stuff. I don't know if we're going to get time to go into that today.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we'll catch up on that next week. Just lots of bits and pieces. Did some writing, some kind of like documentation-y type stuff. Kind of enjoyed that. I've got to be in the right frame of mind for that. Sometimes like the thought of writing like a blog post, or it was like a specification page for RecPress.
Yeah.
And I put it off for days. I was like, no, I've only got like an hour and a half. I need, and then I just was like, right, I've got an hour. I think you even said to me, like, fuck, you free for a catch up? I'm like, no, I'm not.
No,
I've got an hour I've set aside for this thing. I'm gonna do it. So I took a big chunk out of it then and just got into the flow. So yeah, that was fun.
It is nice writing those. I think, like you said, you need a bit of motivation, don't you, to get on with it. It's like writing like a doc page about like how to do something and so forth. But like, I just find once you've written it, it's really satisfying that you've got this thing that you can like send to people and it gives them information. I don't know. It's quite good. So
it's
good. And it was a really good page. You did two, actually.
I did two. Yeah. I did one for a new product idea we've got.
Yeah. So that was good.
That was good, actually. So that's something we kind of haven't done before. So we've got an idea for like a feature stroke product in the recruitment space. And we put it on. I think we said on a previous episode, we sent the idea out to our current job relay customers. Clients, our customers, and said, hey, you know, we're thinking of this. Is this something that's useful? Just reply yes or no. And we got loads of replies. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And most of them are yeses. And I was like, that's interesting. So we definitely have like hit upon something useful. But then I thought, yeah, do they really understand what we're trying to say? There was lots of questions as well, like, would it do this? Can we do this with it? Like, there was a bit of feedback, which was amazing as well. And I thought, right, I think the best thing to do at this point is to get, or maybe it was your idea, get it all down on a page. Like, outline what we're thinking this does. Outline some of the questions that we still have around it. And then just send that out. So I did that. So I like, it was almost like a landing page for a product that doesn't exist, sort of.
And that's why there was questions in it, though, wasn't there? There was like, we want to do this, and we could do it this way, or this way. And then people actually started replying and saying, well, if we did it that way, that'd be good, but we would want to do this. And then they give some really good feedback. It was nice.
Really good. Really good feedback. So we've got some more ideas out of that. And I think, just it was cool because I think until you have an audience, like our audience isn't massive, but we've got enough customers now on Job Relay to like to do things like that, to say, what do you guys think of this? And you'll actually get some responses. It won't just be like one person saying yes, please, or no, thanks. You know,
so I was so surprised, like the number of people, because the original email just said literally just tell us yes or no, wasn't it? And people did. I was so surprised at the number of people that responded, even people that said no. You know, usually you don't get a response, but people did respond and said no.
And they were so polite. Like,
yeah, is that the sort of email, the way in which you wrote that email, that really just get a response?
I think there was like, something about that email that it was quite personal. And I think it's because we weren't we almost weren't selling something because we don't have it yet. It's like, would this be useful for you? Just yes or no. I think the just reply yes or no thing was good as well, because people are like,
it's literally,
oh, I
you
don't
can do
have
it right
to
now.
Write an essay.
Yeah. You just need to write yes or no, let us know. Almost like clicking a poll in Twitter. Just give us your opinion straight away.
Exactly. Yeah, so that went really well. So yeah, how about that's you? Good. What have you been up to?
It's absolutely flown by this week. Yep. I don't know why. It just seems to have gone really, like I said in the tweet that I tweeted out this episode, it just seems to have absolutely got around so quick. So it's just been a whirlwind of support and developer stuff and cracking on with a few bigger projects, which has been good. Just a general week, really. Nothing exciting. Nothing unexciting.
Yeah.
Very boring. Anyway.
Yeah.
So before we get started, if you are new here, we'd love you to like the video. It always really helps us out. And also, if you would consider subscribing to the channel, it means you won't miss any episodes. If you ring that notification bell, you'll also get an email to say, hey, we're going live, and then you won't miss it. So please do that as well. So first topic for today, Keith, is drop shadows. Now, this was something I saw. It's actually in my things to read and watch section at the end on the WordPress.org news, developer news. Mm-hmm. Drop shadows. I believe we are getting drop shadows in 6.5.
Yeah, it looks like it. So drop shadows, aka box shadows, if you're more CSS inclined. I think it's still called a drop shadow when you use a filter. Anyway, that's all very technical. Basically shadows in WordPress core in the block editor. It looks like the implementation is going to be, it ships with, I think, 5 different shadows styles out of the box, and you can click on one of those and it'll add that shadow,
style?
Well, it could be like the amount of blur, the amount of like how big it is. So basically how far off the page it seems to be, or how harsh the light source seems to be.
Because I thought in CSS a box shadow was like how far down it is, how far right it is.
That's right.
How strong it is, or blurry it is, something like that, isn't it?
I just wondered,
are they the controls that we're going to get, or is it less control than that?
No. You're going to get 5 presets to choose from. I think it's 5. I think so, to start with. And then it looks like there will be you will be able to create your own presets in the future, which is, that's where it gets good.
Yeah.
So like shadow style 1, and then you can control like the horizontal and vertical offset and the amount of blur and the color and the opacity and all that kind of stuff.
So that's presumably that's quite set cool. A variable, will it? That then you style the variable.
Presumably. You can also, when this ships, you'll also, theme authors will be able to like unhook the default ones and add in their own theme specific ones, or just add in their own theme specific ones on top of the defaults,
presumably in theme.json.
yes
makes sense.
So cool. I think it's good. Just a couple of other notes on it. It only applies to certain blocks currently, which I believe are the buttons, images, columns block and the individual column block. Weirdly, not the group block.
Not the group block,
which is the one that just thought, if it's going to be anything, it's going to be the group block. I mean, the first block I would want shadows on is that. Anyway.
Yeah, because you're creating like a standout section on the page. You might want to group it, give it
and
a shadow, put stuff inside it.
You could have put nearly any other block in a group and then given it the shadow.
Yeah,
if that's what you want. You could put an image in a group and get, anyway.
Yeah,
it's not coming with groups yet, but
I
groups
do it with a single column. It's a bit naff though, but
yeah, totally naff. Yeah, and you could, But group blocks, cover blocks are coming soon, and the custom shadow controls are coming soon. I think, I don't want to get too much into it, but it just raises the whole decisions versus options kind of question again. It's like, do you want your content editors to have to go in and fiddle with shadows? I don't know. Like, for me, a theme, and it comes into like, what is a theme now? Yes, you can have your theme shadow options, but like, whenever some of our clients add an image block to a page, it has a shadow or it doesn't, because that's the style of the site.
The style.
And they do not need to make that decision. And sometimes I let them turn it off. But, you know, things like that, it just, I mean, WordPress is becoming a design tool.
Well,
that's the way it's going. So
I think that ship sailed. We're options, not decisions.
People
seem to be doing that. Maybe that's fine. I think I must admit, we've got some of the themes that we run on, like the Job Relay site, the RecPress site, our website. It's all the same theme, I think, isn't it? And there are times where I just think, oh, I wish I could change the padding or whatever, but we've turned it off as well. We've styled it. And I think, yeah, I think options is probably going to win in that race.
Oh, well, it's already won, really. Yeah,
so,
we're long down that road now. So.
Elliot just says, regarding this, why not in a group block? Not if the group block is set to full width, which would be weird with a shadow full width. Yes, but wouldn't that be the same with a full width column block?
Yeah, I don't really understand. Just don't add it to a full width group block.
If it looks crap, then turn it off.
I don't know. maybe Elliot, we've missed the point of that. So if you want to clarify, we can come back to that. But thanks for the comment. Moving on, what do you want to tackle next?
tackle next. So we've got a few things to figure. I think I'm going to tackle hashtag fake developer. That's what I'm going to tackle next. So yesterday I had one of those days. You probably have them. I hope you have them, or else it's not just me. Well, everything, like, you get this series of problems. You start at 9 a.m. and you sit at your desk, and then it's like, that's gone wrong. Can't do that. That's gone wrong. Don't understand why. Try and fix it. Can't understand that. And it was just like, all morning, it was just like, I am crap. I am crapper. I am really crap at this job. So I got to lunchtime and I was like, oh, just give up, you know. It's like, proper fake developer. I can't understand this. So it was all started with like, pull requests is what it started with. So this was, and this kind of links in with a few other things. So I had a pull request, thank you, from Brian Cords about our Better Core video embeds plugin, which, if you don't know what it is, it basically stops the YouTube or Vimeo sort of rubbish loading before you click on the video. So it replaces the video with a nice little thumbnail, and when you click on it, then loads all the YouTube stuff. And Brian had pasted in his URL from YouTube and it hadn't worked. It didn't replace it. It just did the normal embed thing. So he got in touch and I was like, yeah, it's because it's the live URL. You're using that youtube.com/live/video ID. And my sort of like pattern to grab the video ID from the URL doesn't match that pattern. So he did a brilliant little pull request. Wasn't big, couple lines of code just to say, look, if it's got the live stuff in it, let's grab the video ID this way. And then I sort of landed in there and I was like, oh, thanks for that. I was like, I just don't know what to do with it. You know, how do I deal with this pull request? So I tried to investigate it and understand it, and then just got completely confused. Lots of people on Twitter were helping me, which was great. Thank you if you were helping me. And I kind of got there in the end with a lot of help and a lot of people telling me how pull requests actually work, which is weird because I couldn't find that information, like how they actually work in the background. So it appears that there's two different ways they work as well, which is strange. And I don't really know how you know which way the pull request has been done is actually where you've got your pull request. So what I actually did, whether this was right or wrong, because I use Git Tower, which is a client, to do the Git. I don't do anything in the command line. So I could see the pull request in the pull request tab in Git Tower. So I right-clicked on it and went to checkout, which then, I believe, created a local branch which had that pull request in it. And this was all difficult because I wanted to make some minor changes to it. It was literally putting some comments on it so that when I come and look at this in 6 months' time, because I didn't write it, I was just going to go, hey, I can understand what's going on. Made comments, committed comments. Then I went back to my develop branch, which is kind of our default working branch. And then I just dragged that into develop merged it in, and then that was fine. And then I was like, well, what do I do with the pull request? Do I just leave it there? Do I close it? And people were suggesting, well, because you've made the change, you know, you can just close it now because it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But when I went back to the pull request, it had gone. It would have been closed. Right. So I don't know how it closed. So somehow Tower, GitHub knew that my branch that I'd committed was based on that pull request. So it disappeared anyway. We got there in the end. I've released the plugin. And if you've got live embeds, it now works.
It's funny, isn't it? Because like I reckon some people are like watching or listening to this thinking, you don't know how pull requests work.
No.
And like I don't. We have never ever I've never done a pull request in my life.
No.
You've never done a pull request in your life. And it's just because it's we just work and it's just the two of us and we're working on our own stuff. And we don't need to do pull requests. I mean we could, but that could be a workflow we used instead of the way we currently do things, but it feels like
it isn't.
It's a bit onerous. And it's good for this kind of situation. This is what they're for. This exact scenario is what they're for. But we don't have to ever do it because it's just two of us working on a bit, you know, a project. And usually the work we do is front end, back end. So,
yeah. It's literally just said in here, PR pull requests are confusing. The naming itself is confusing because the way I understand it is someone else, Brian in this instance, is sending me a request to pull his code into the repository.
Yeah, please pull my
code. So it's a pull request. But it feels more like a push request. I want you to push this code into your repository. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I kind of get it. But anyway.
Good.
So if you want to contribute code to BetterCore video embeds, as I was going to say, don't do a pull request. But actually, do a pull request because it's the right thing to do. And I'll figure out.
Oh, interesting. So Kyle, right? Kyle in the comments. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for chiming in. Honestly, once you get into using Git properly and using pull requests, you'll never look back. Why? Why? Why is it better? I don't get it. I just, like, I can see it if you're doing, like, code reviews and things, and, like, I have to make sure that what I'm doing doesn't break anything you're doing. But for us, I just don't, I don't see the advantage for a two-person team. If there is
you
wouldn't one,
do a pull request, like for yourself to review, though, surely would you? I get it in this instance. No. Like Brian was, here's a thing. Have a look at it. You might want to merge it or pull it into your repository. Yeah. That makes sense to me. But if I'm building a feature for client, and like it's just a back end feature, you don't. There's no style or anything. Why do a pull request? Because I don't need to do that. I don't think. I use feature branches. Yeah,
and sometimes we're both working on a feature branch.
Yeah, I think the workflow for me, though, for feature branches is mainly because. So if I want to build a new feature for Job Relay, I create a feature branch and then I can beaver away and build away and I think, oh, that's just not going to work. Delete feature branch, then back to normal. Yeah. That's kind of why I do it like that, I think, more than anything else.
And I can pull that down and then I can test it and work on it and add whatever I need to add to it. And then, just keeps it kind of separate.
Yeah.
Elliot, this is what I thought. Hang on, I'll do this in order. So, Elliot, you can merge or create new branch for testing, like feature branch, pull request? I'm not sure. And then he says community contribution. So this is where I see, I see pull requests for community, like being useful for community projects and for larger development teams where there's maybe a senior engineer or developer that's overseeing the work of others and maybe the juniors submit pull requests for things and the senior reviews it and then approves it. That's where I kind of see it's great for separating tasks, especially if you split projects into tasks. Is it better than feature branches? Maybe it is. Maybe there's loads of, I'm not sure. Maybe this is something we need to look at. And then Elliot again, PRs are not for internal use, more for community contribution. I tend to agree. But I'm not sure. Cameron, make a pull request for those feature branches and make the other of you review and merge it. Good habit. I can imagine that's a good habit. Although I think because we work on different stuff, I don't know if you could provide particularly useful feedback on my CSS and front end stuff, or I could provide particularly good feedback on your stuff.
Yeah. We learned about my Flexbox knowledge last week, so
yeah,
I don't think I can
exactly.
Provide any feedback
let's,
on that.
Let's not go there. So there you go, pull requests. So, well, it's good that you kind of understand it a bit more, because we do have like code out in the wild like that that people can potentially contribute to, so that's cool.
Pull requests for me lands into that bucket of stuff that, yes, I probably should learn, but it feels like it would do two things. It would completely change the way in which I write code, which would have knock-on effects for lots of other things between our business and how we all work and everything.
Yeah.
And it would just take a lot of time.
That's my gut feel as well.
What we've got now isn't broken, so I don't see the reason to change it. If I had an actual reason why, like, this is a problem we need to fix, pull requests, we'll fix them. Perfect.
Do you think people watch this show just to make themselves feel better about their development skills? It's like, look at these two jokers that I'm including.
Developer, I told you.
Yeah, fake developer, exactly. If that's you, then you're very welcome here, and I am happy to serve.
Join the club.
Yeah. It's great. It just shows you don't have to know all this stuff to make a living. But there you go.
No. Anyway, good. So that was my morning of I don't know, what's the word? Like, disappointment. Yeah, I was kind of annoyed at lunchtime yesterday. You got the brunt of it. I think you jumped on a call with me about 1 o'clock. And
I did have to laugh. I just let you go for a while.
And I was like, right, I've finished now. What are we talking about? Anyway, cool. Right. What else have we got?
I think you put stuff about support for sites.
Yeah. So we get the support is, we always talk about support, don't we? But support, so we've got
a big part of the business now. Yeah.
And I suppose the question comes up as to, and we've talked about this, when a customer, like with RecPress, they want RecPress, but they want this changing. So, like, where does that fit in? Is it for our product? Is it that we just don't entertain that at all?
Mm.
As in, go and learn it, go and find out about it yourself, you know? Yeah. And I'm talking about, like, dead simple stuff. So, you know, we output a job card and it has a title, a description, and a button. Let's say they want to put the button before the description. You know, you can't do that without unhooking something and rehooking it in a different order, for example.
Or adding some custom CSS or something like that.
Something like that. We're not talking about, like, major project work here that's completely changing something. You know, because I think our thought was, well, it would actually take us like 10 minutes just to write a little snippet of code and stick it on the site and work. But then part of me thinks that the more of that you do, the more of that you've got a kind of support going in the future.
Mm.
So I think I'm more of the, we shouldn't do that, but what we should do is provide good, solid documentation in methods in which you can do that. Which is what I think a lot of plugins do, don't they? Always use Gravity Forms as an example. You know, they've got some really good documentation where you can go and see what hooks and filters they've got. They give some examples of how to use them. I think that's the way to go, but
I think erring on the other side and think we should be the solution in terms of we should be doing that work as part of the product, what they're paying for. That means the price needs to go up.
So they shouldn't be paying extra for it.
It depends what it is. It does depend what it is. I mean, if it's a major bit of work, then, and we're adding a feature or something that RecPress just doesn't support, then yeah.
It's just how do you communicate what is and what isn't included then?
Well, that's, you know, like, we've tried to do that with our new specifications page to some extent, but there's still loads of gaps. It won't cover that, no. I got a design this morning from someone saying, can you do this in RecPress? And I was like, I can, but it probably needs an hour or two's like custom development code. Work.
Yeah.
So I don't mind doing that. Yeah, it's tricky though. I think one of your questions, though, the way it looked like you phrased the question in our notes was that what happens if they change their site? They're already a RecPress customer. We've already set up the site and they make changes and RecPress breaks. That's an interesting one. I think again, they're paying for support. I mean, we say they're paying for support and maintenance, so we have to help them. We have to support them. Maintain it.
I'd agree with that, but it's,
do we fix all the problems that are caused by somebody else? That's another question.
I would say, you know, RecPress was working and running fine, something's changed, maybe our support helps you out, helps them identify what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh, we've identified it. It's a conflict with this plugin, or it's the way in which this plugin's been updated to change X, and therefore it won't work with RecPress. And the outcome of that might be, hey, we'll change RecPress because actually we need to, because lots of people use that plugin. Or it might be that we can't do that. Do something with this plugin. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those gray areas that always blurs the lines of what is and what isn't support, which is difficult.
Yeah, we'll conversation there. We have nearly every day. Should we be doing this? Shouldn't we be doing this? Should we be charging for it? Shouldn't we be charging for it? Yeah, it's tricky.
Sam, thank you, Sam, says, charge the setup fee again if they get a new site, surely. Which I've actually thought, we've had a few of those, haven't we?
We should put that somewhere in our documentation or that our contract, that like a completely new design requires the setup fee. Yeah, I don't think we've actually written that anywhere.
I've had that with Job Relay, where like you do the integration, and then 3 months later, they're like, oh, we don't want to use that posting provider anymore, but we're going to use this posting provider, which you support. How about you just do all that again for us?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I get why. I mean, but should I charge for that? Or should I just say that's fine? I don't know. I just do it at the moment, but
I think
it does feel like I'm doing it twice when they've only paid for it once, but I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky stuff.
Yep. What else have we got?
I think we're on to what we've been reading and watching and enjoying in the WordPress world.
So I think these should be in the description. You put one extra in there, which I don't know whether we'll be in, but we'll put it in eventually.
Yeah.
So the Drop Shadows is something that we were both reading. That's on the developer blog. Is it called a blog or news? Developer news.
Yeah.
developer.wordpress.org/news. You'll see it on there. It's probably one of the up and top posts. I was watching an interesting video, which was Brian Cord's live developing with the Ollie theme. He was kind of switching his site from the theme he's currently used over to the Ollie theme, trying to recreate things as well. That was quite interesting. So do have a watch of that. I think it's about an hour long, so it might be one of those.
Were there any key takeaways for you? Like, did it look like a good experience? Did he find it easy? Was it hard? Was it like
encouraging? The biggest takeaway for me was the amount of times that Brian sort of like says, oh, I don't know why that's like that. Yeah, I never bother with that. I just do it this way. And like, that's a bit weird, isn't it? I shouldn't have done it like that. And why is that there? And I can't get to it. It was quite a lot of like finding all the little flaws with full site editing.
Right.
And the things that were like, yeah, that's rubbish. We just don't do it over there. We just do it here instead type thing, which I thought was interesting. And that there's quite a few ways to do things. Some of them are better than the others. And there's quite a few things that are just a bit naff, I don't know a better word, that kind of just calls out, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Go and watch it. Grab yourself a coffee and just put it on. It's quite interesting to see someone doing stuff live. It's good.
I started watching it because I really wanted to see it and then just ran out of time. So I didn't get to see the rest of it. But it's one that I might come back to.
Yeah. And then the last one was your link.
There's actually a couple involving kind of the same person. So I watched a really interesting video with on the WP Tonic. So that's another WordPress podcast by a guy called Jonathan Denwood. And I can't remember who his co-host was. I'm sorry. Can't remember his name. But they had Jamie Marsland on. And Jamie's role in this discussion was basically defending the current state of WordPress to some extent. And Jonathan's was kind of attacking it. And it was interesting. Jonathan is... I don't know how to say it. I actually have come to like him, and I'll tell you why. But initially, I found him quite kind of abrasive and like almost too combative with Jamie. And I thought Jamie did a really good job of like just staying really calm. Heated might be the wrong word, but it was close to heated. It's a bit spicy. In points. So I would check that video out. I thought that was really interesting, like two polar opposite sides of where we're at with full site editing and the Gutenberg project. So I would watch that. I came away from that video thinking, yeah, that Jonathan was a bit too combative. And then I watched another video with him and Matt Medeiros.
Just before we go on to that, co-host, I think he's called Kurt Van Arend.
It was Kurt. Yeah. Thanks. And then I watched one. I saw that Matt Medeiros had done an interview with Jonathan on the WP Minute. And I watched that. And that was a really good show as well. And Jonathan, I thought, comes across... he was in a less combative mood, a much more pensive kind of... He's a real thinker, like, about WordPress. He's obviously very passionate about WordPress, like we all are, but is struggling with it, like some of us are. Yeah. And Matt's more... I guess Matt was more sympathetic to Jonathan's position maybe than Jamie was. So it's not as combative. And I just found it a really, really good conversation about... the state of things, and they talk about like WordPress media. We actually get a mention.
I was gonna say, was that the episode where he said that we hate our jobs?
Yeah, he was laughing because Jonathan he talks about his like British kind of sense of humor and sarcasm and how it always gets him in trouble with like an American audience. Matt mentioned us. He's like, have you seen those two British guys that do that show, WP Cafe? He's like, those two seem to absolutely hate their jobs. It's hilarious. Well, I definitely don't hate my job. But
I love my job.
Yeah.
It's funny how that comes across. Portraying that.
It's funny how it comes across, like culturally. You know, we're just so used to just being, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is. I don't even know. Like British about it. Like we're not like, well, yeah, everything's awesome. You know, like. Just say it as it is, really. Two good shows, and I've got a lot of respect for both. Well, all those people I mentioned, they've all got really good viewpoints and interesting insights on where we're at and where we're going. So I would definitely check them out.
Cool.
Yeah,
brilliant. Right, we have reached the end of our topics for this week. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on YouTube. If you are listening along on the podcast, thank you. That's really appreciated. And we will be back at the same time next week.
Is it Easter Friday next week?
Oh, is it?
There's a bank holiday coming up, so we might be missing a week. But we'll if you subscribe, you won't miss it.
If it's Good Friday, we might miss it. But if it's, I don't know if it is or not. Someone can tell us. But anyway.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon anyway. Thanks for joining us. Do subscribe. Do give us a like if you think that's going to be good. And we will see you
next time.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.